Passionate about broadcast media? Become a part of Broadcast Plaza, the number one broadcast media server on Discord, to discuss all about it with fellow community members and industry professionals, including your humble narrator. Broadcast Plaza, this is the place. Join today by going to the link in this episode's description or by logging on to discord.gg/broadcastplaza.
This is a Zagwint original podcast. The following segment comes from the November 7th, 2023 edition of the Zachary and Peaches Show. To listen to the full episode, follow and subscribe to Zachary and Peaches wherever you get your podcasts.
Animation, autism, and now everything else. The Zachary and Peaches Show continues with a Sackland exclusive.
It's a story you'll only hear first on the Zachary and Peaches Show. Fair use, copyrights, and archiving broadcast media tell the cautionary tale of Studio 31 Media Archive and its owner, Jim Stanton. This week, we talk with a San Antonio, Texas-based archivist about the recent challenges he's faced in running his popular YouTube channel with over 5,000 subscribers and many countless views of the recordings of newscasts captured for others to view. The important interview and discussion, a Zachary exclusive, right now on Zachary and Peaches.
Welcome back to the Zachary and Peaches Show, everybody. I'm Emma Settles, alongside my wonderful co-host, Adrian Mata. And for this SCD segment, we're actually doing something a little different. As the title of the segment suggests, how dare us do anything different on the something completely different segment. but, you know, jokes aside, Adrian, why don't you give us a little rundown on what our STD segment is for tonight's episode?
Or this week, rather, actually. As I said in the tease leading up to this particular segment here earlier, before we recorded this episode, I did an interview with Jim Stanton, who owns Studio 31 Media Archive. It is, of course, a YouTube channel that has posted recordings of a newscast from various different markets and from various stations in a bit of a way that you know showcases the reporting styles of those stations, their news departments, and also the visual and sound and appearance aspects of those television stations and whatnot. But recently, of course, the channel has faced two copyright strikes in the past few weeks, and of course, things have not really been looking great for the channel. But Jim was very kind enough to be able to give me an opportunity to interview him as part of this Zachlin exclusive, a first that we are doing here on this podcast here. And so here is the interview with Jim Stanton. And hopefully there's going to be some important stuff for you to peruse through as a part of that interview. Jim, it's great to have you on the Zachary and Peaches Show. I wish it was under better circumstances, given what you've been going through the past a few weeks or so, but first of all, how are you feeling right now?
I feel better than I did about 2 weeks ago. I felt it was because this all happened maybe 2 weeks ago. So at that time, yeah, it was a lot to take in for sure.
Definitely. So let's go ahead and get started here. So you are, of course, based in San Antonio, Texas, and you are when you're not at your other job that I won't disclose here, but when you're not working at your other job, you are a broadcast media archivist. So what exactly does that entail?
So basically I record items from television, radio, stuff like that. Current day, and I also try to look at like older stuff off of tapes and stuff, but I try to just archive this, post it, so that way it's preserved for the future, so that way maybe 10 years from now you want to see how the news looked or how a promo, which is the little things that air in between the newscasts and stuff like that, how a TV station looked. And I think it's important more now than ever to preserve this, because I would say most regular people, I know you and I are kind of a special breed that we pay attention to stuff like this, but I would say most normal people are not really watching local television anymore. They're kind of more into streaming with like Netflix and all that. So I think it's important to kind of preserve this for a shrinking audience.
Yeah, definitely. And especially when it comes to like, you know, I guess I could say, I don't know, more like almost a radiofication of sorts of the linear television landscape with local news becoming, you know, more and more prevalent in TV schedules and whatnot. That's one example that I could only think of. But anyway, what started up your passion for the broadcast and for not only the broadcast industry but also the news industry as well?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've been interested in this since I was younger. I wanted to and almost did pursue the industry. I mean, I had an internship in high school, but I ended up going a different route for many reasons. But I've always had a passion for it, and I've always wanted to see how it's evolved, and it continues to evolve, like you've mentioned, with stations leaning more on local news and all that. But I kind of just want to keep archiving it, because the industry is continuing to change and will always continue to change, and I'm excited to see what's happening, and I want to preserve that. I want people to see, this is what a station looked like 30 years ago, this is what it looks like now, and what it'll look like 10 years from now or 20 years from now.
Yeah, and another thing that you've also done this podcast called Broadcast Bulletin that kind of really gives listeners a bit of a deeper dive into the inner workings of the news industry from people who work in the industry, who have worked in the industry and are out of the industry. So tell me a little bit more about that and how it kind of really influenced and how it's kind of really affected your passion for the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's called Broadcast Bulletin. I haven't put it out in a few months just because I've been busy with my main channel, Studio 31. But it's an interesting podcast I put out, because you're right, it gives the listeners insight into the business from those who've been there, those who've left it. And even I've learned a few things. I mean, of course, I don't work in the business, so I don't necessarily know everything that goes on, but I mean, I mentioned I had an internship and I have multiple connections, so I kind of have an idea of what goes on. But even then, talking with some of the people, I've learned stories I didn't even know. And the goal of the podcast is just to kind of educate people, put them on the inside, hopefully, and maybe if they want to pursue the business, they can gain some advice from the guests, or if they want to leave it, maybe our guest might say something that might help them. And then these people have opened themselves up too. So if they come on the show and people want to reach out, you know, most of these people have made themselves available if they want to reach out and give advice to some other people. So I think we've put together a really good platform to kind of educate people on this business, because I mean, as I said, and I want to make this clear to everybody, that I have a passion for the business and I don't hate the business, and it's going through a lot of change. And the goal with all my platforms is to shine a positive spotlight on the industry and kind of, I guess, give greater awareness to it.
Yeah, definitely. With not only with Broadcast Bulletin, but also your YouTube channel, Studio 31 Media Archive, it has like over 5,000 subscribers who are interested in seeing, you know, how certain newscasts, you know, may appear on television, like in different markets, different stations and whatnot. But recently your channel has had two copyright strikes against you. So from two different parties that, again, I won't name here, but tell me more about the issues that you've had with the channel in the past few weeks.
Yeah, well, I want to start by saying that until this all happened maybe 3 weeks ago, mid-October of 2023, I've never had any issues with any party before until all this. And I've been doing this for a total of 16 years. The channel itself that you see now has only been around since 11. But, I mean, I had an old channel before, and I've been doing this since 07. And until now, I've never really had an issue with someone trying to claim copyright on something for, like, news broadcasts. Really. Like, okay, I get it if we're posting a full episode of, like, say, SpongeBob. I mean, obviously, the copyright owner is trying to enforce the copyright and make a profit on that. But, and I get that. But with what we're doing here, full newscasts, I mean, I post full newscasts, and it's difficult because I see the historical value in what we do, which is, you know, to provide an archive of the news, how it looked, and 10 years ago or 10 years now, you know. And I think it's great what we're doing, but obviously there's some people out there who don't think what we're doing, I guess, is right. Maybe they don't understand what we're doing. I don't get it personally, because as I said, with like an episode of SpongeBob or whatever, that's meant to be watched over and over and over, but with these newscasts, they're only meant to be watched once. It's not like they're being released on DVD for you to watch later on. I mean, and that's kind of a double-edged sword, because, yeah, they're not trying to make profit on it more than once, but at the same time, and you're not going to be able to see it more than once, but at the same time, it's like, I think there's a historical value in being able to go back and watch these old news broadcasts. And that's only the only thing we've had issue with, is like news broadcasts. I think it's because of the amount we take, which these are like 30-minute shows. So maybe someone is saying these are too long for fair use. And that's the thing. We post these under fair use. excuse me. We post these under fair use. We don't reach out to them, because I know some people are going to say, why aren't you just contacting them and getting permission? The thing is, with these news broadcasts, these stations are so understaffed right now that they don't have the resources to license the content out. There's no person at the station you would really go to. They don't have a process in place at a lot of these stations to even license this content. And most of the stations understand what we do, so we just post it. I've always kind of been a believer of the, you know, ask for forgiveness, then permission, because usually permission is going to be no, but forgiveness, you know, you usually don't know what to expect. I mean, I guess in a way we take a risk with this, because this is copyrighted content, and of course these organizations have every right to enforce that. But then that's another question. Who is able to enforce it? Because I won't give too much away and say who or what, but I will say that at these stations, not just me, but there's been other people in the past and now who have had issues too, and it's always like some mid-level manager at the station. It's not like a copyright lawyer, because a lot of these companies do have legal departments, but every time we've gotten a copyright issue on a newscast, it's never been a copyright lawyer or just a lawyer in general. It's always been someone with a background in journalism. And I don't think they truly understand the fair use aspect. I think that speaks to what we do. The lawyers have never had an issue. I think they get what we do as fair use. It's always been someone in the station. And I don't know what their motive is to try to take these down. I think it's unfortunate. I mean, I think it's really hurtful to our audience, because what we're doing is actually, I wish the stations would see it this way, but I think we're trying to help the stations. I think we're trying to give them publicity. I mean, and I don't think it's fair. I mean, because they tend to target people like us, like archivists, but I think there's a variety of reasons too. I mean, there's other channels that post the same stuff, but like lower quality, and I don't want to name them, but my audience knows who I'm talking about. There's channels that post them in lower quality, and are they going to go after them? I think they might be targeting me too, because I post these in like many people have said, like, it looks like you got them right off the air, and I try to have the best equipment. I mean, everything I take is from like an online stream, but I try to make sure I have like the best equipment so my stuff looks good, and maybe they don't want that. I mean, I could speculate on many reasons, but I just want to say I don't know what the motive is. I think it's unfortunate, though. I think it's hurtful to the audience.
Yeah, and in the case of one of those parties, forgive me for going a little bit deeper into this, but in case of one of those parties, they even posted like the full newscast from a certain station themselves on their own channel, and it seems kind of hypocritical in a way to do that, but then deny other archivists the chance to. To basically archive the newscast as under fair use and such.
No, I completely agree with that. Yeah, I think that's really unfortunate. That's also something else I want to mention too. It's like, why are you going after these archivists? But then, like, I was watching a newscast the other day that an anchor posted of themselves, and I get that, you know, they kind of want to show off their work, and so they put up a full newscast themselves. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I completely get that. But it's like, I think my channel was targeting a different niche, and we were at like, I still have like 5,000 subscribers, and my videos would always get between 500 and 1,000 views, which, I mean, for a general audience isn't very big, but for our niche, because this is indeed a niche, for our niche it was pretty big compared to my the other channels that I don't necessarily want to use the word competition, because I wouldn't say I compete against them, but other channels that post similar content to mine would only get like 100 to 200 views for the same amount of content within a day. And so I think maybe they were jealous of that, because in the case of one of the stations, my channel had more subs than they do. So maybe it was a jealousy thing. I mean, something else I kind of want to say too is maybe there might be a deeper motive. I mean, I don't want to say too much, but I mean, I think you're aware of there's a troll who has been targeting my channel for a while, and I don't want to name him, but everyone knows who I'm talking about. And I don't want to give them too much publicity, but I will say that there's a troll out there who's been trying to target my channel because it wasn't even me, but one of our staff members banned them from the Discord server, Broadcast Plaza, because they have multiple issues, and they've been coming after me ever since. And maybe it's possible they are faking these. I think that's a whole other issue. Is faking copyright, which is a big deal. I mean, I'll say this, both of them were filed with Gmail addresses, which I think is big. I don't think they should be. I think they should only be filed with corporate email, so that way we know that it's truly a representative of the company. I think it casts a lot of doubt to say that this is from, you're claiming to represent this large corporation, but then use a Gmail address. I mean, how am I supposed to know it's you or not? So it may not even be them. I mean, I don't know for sure. It's a lot to take in for sure, though.
Yeah, definitely. And we've already talked about, you know, what could be considered fair use and what could not be considered fair use. So I'll go ahead and go on to, I guess, our last question here. You have over 5,000 subscribers. You still have over 5,000 subscribers on the Studio 31 Media Archive channel. But now with all the videos removed and whatnot for the time being, what's next for the brand? What's next for this channel? Like, what does the future look like for Studio 31?
To be honest, I wish I knew. I think I'm going to have to stay away from the full shows because I feel like I'm specifically being targeted. Me, and I think there's another couple other channels out there that have aligned with me that have had issues. I won't name them because I don't think they want me to say much about it. So I won't name them, but there are some other channels I've had issues too. But there's also channels that haven't had issues too. And I that's another thing. I think that's unfortunate, but I think for me, I personally might just have to stay away from the full shows or put them on a different platform that is more respectful to copyright owners and copyright holders. I'll just say this real quick. Because we didn't mention this, but the whole counterclaim. I tried filing a counterclaim on these because I don't think these copyright strikes were fair or they were correct. And YouTube rejected me. And I tried filing them at least 5-6 times. I also reached out to the parties in question. I never got a response back. So my future of using YouTube might be up in the air. I mean, I don't think YouTube cares for its providers that much. I think they care more about these corporations and getting sued by large corporations that they're too afraid to stand up for their creators. So I don't know. I want to stay with YouTube because it's given me the largest audience. Like Internet Archive is probably the other one that people use. And even then, it's a safer place for us as archivists to post this kind of content. And they understand what we do, I think. But at the same time, that site's not going to give us a large audience. And they've also had their own issues happening recently with, I think they were sued by some book publishers and some recording studios over posting their content. So I'm even doubtful of what the future of Internet Archive might look like. So I may be forced to stay with YouTube, but I may only be posting news opens. I may only be posting promos, just like items that are short, like under 3 minutes or under 5 minutes at most. I think stations aren't really triggered by that. I think they're mainly triggered by seeing like 30-minute clips and hour clips and thinking they can't monetize that. And that's something I want to mention. I don't monetize anything on the channel. If there's ads, it's YouTube making money on it. I don't make a cent off of anything. I mean, I do this all out of my own pocket. I pay for everything you see on the channel. So I may only just do short clips. I have my other two channels. I mean, three really, because I have the podcast. I want to do more of that for sure. I have a new channel called Forward Broadcast Archive, which is just my temporary channel. I may do something else with it. Maybe I'll do full newscasts on there in the future. But for now, I'm kind of just playing it safe because I'm not too sure about the whole full newscasting and all that. And then I have my other channel, 31 Rewind, and that's going to be staying and posting the same kind of content as now, which is just commercial breaks, old newscasts, stuff like that, sign-offs. I think people appreciate the older content, and it's interesting that nothing from there has had issues, but I guess they take more issue with the current stuff, which I guess kind of makes sense because they have that available themselves. But most stations just put up like clips, like short little clips from the show. They're not putting up the full shows. I think we're providing a valuable service. So I don't know. I wish I had a complete answer, but I guess it's just going to be time will tell for sure what we'll look like in a few months. I mean, I'll say this, the strikes come off sometime in January, and hopefully we won't have any issues in the future, knock on wood, but I mean, we won't know for sure until then.
Yeah, let's hope for a bit of a more normal, more brighter future for the Studio 31 brand and of course the YouTube channel. I want to bring a little bit of levity to end the conversation here. You mentioned the broadcast bulletin. Our announcer Jared Harris, I understand, did an interview with you at some point. I think like a year or so ago. I'm not really sure when it's going to come out, but I've been kind of really looking forward to getting to hear it and just hearing a little bit more about Jared's story within the as part of the broadcast industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to put his interview out at some point soon, maybe within a couple of months. I need to get back on that because I recorded some interviews back then. I feel bad I haven't released any of them yet, but yeah, we recorded it about a year or so ago, and he's a cool dude. He has a great background, and he has a really good voice, as you've taken notice of, because I mean, you have him doing your announcer. He's a cool dude. I'm really looking forward to having him, and I'm glad you have him on to promote your product.
Yeah, definitely. Jim, thank you as always for being a part of the show and, giving me, for the opportunity to, have myself interview you for this occasion here. Obviously, not under the most ideal circumstances, but I hope you come back on the show at some point in the future, and you know, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, our usual topics here: animation, autism, and everything else. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Adrian.
Episodes of Broadcast Bulletin, Jim Stanton's podcast, are available to stream wherever you get your podcast. And again, thank you to Jim for taking the time out of his schedule and for giving me the opportunity to interview him as part of this Zachman exclusive. So copyright and fair use and archiving broadcast media, Emma. I think there's a lot to take in. I think from the interview that I did with Jim, and what were your takeaways from that segment there?
I think probably my biggest takeaway with this particular interview was the fact that the nature of the news itself, you know, as he suggested, you know, you kind of have to be a special breed to sort of, you know, want to not only just, you know, engage with local news media, but also, you know, want to preserve it as well, because, you know, there are, you know, most, as he said during the interview, you know, most quote unquote normal people will, you know, watch the news and be done with it. Like, you know, it's not something that, you know, you go off and has infinite replay value. Yeah, it's basically just like it's just the news. It's just something that you, in most people's circumstances, you don't even really want to watch. You kind of just feel compelled to do, to watch it because of the fact that you want to seem like a halfway decent human being and have some semblance of knowledge of what's going on in the country and in the world. That being said, I think just in the context of copyright and of fair use, you know, I see a lot of Jim's argument here. As he had mentioned, you know, in the interview, you know, the news isn't an episode of SpongeBob. It's, especially if it's, you know, a local program, you know, it's not something that's, you know, produced by a high budget studio often. Unless, of course, it is just a straight out large corporation news broadcast, but it in the context of just, you know, non-streaming local television media, and specifically television news media, considering the fact that it's not directly made by Hollywood, even if it could be a subsidiary of a larger company, you know, the fact that it is a local station, the fact that, you know, it's not something that's going to be watched on repeat unless you know have an interest in that kind of media. I mean, as he had suggested too, in the age of streaming, you know, people are, you know, either have moved on to reading the news on their phones or turning to a more corporate news source or just not even engaging with news media at all or infrequently engaging with news media because of the fact that most people have now entered into the age of streaming, and there was already a small enough audience for local news media, and now, you know, that pool is getting even smaller due to just the nature of, you know, the modern television industry, and, you know, the broadcast journalism industry in particular. That being said, I think, you know, I think the work that he does is very important, and I think that, you know, having an opportunity for people to learn from news media from their area or just from areas throughout the country and throughout the world, you know, everything from, you know, what type of news was being broadcasted, who was broadcasting it, you know, as well as just how did the news look? What did the bumpers look like? You know, what did the interview rooms look like? You know, who was the ones who were going out in the field mostly? You know, little details like that. It, you know, the kind of details that you really don't completely think about paying attention to while you're watching the news, but you would if you were watching, say, your favorite TV serial, you know. Just appreciating, I think, just if anything, the work that he's doing, I think, is primarily, you know, helping to appreciate the craft that is broadcast journalism, especially broadcast journalism that is not or is only partially propped up by a larger parent company. So yeah, that being said, I think it's a little strange that he's now sort of getting flagged for copyright, especially as, you know, the nature of fair use, and the fact that he's been doing this for so long and he's only been recently encountering some troubles with his archival work. That being said, though, if you want to take it from the, you know, if you're taking it from the side of the people who are complaining about this, you know, if, again, if you have like a local subsidiary of a larger news corporation, you know, CNN, not CNN, but, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, God forbid Fox, but, you know, just a larger news studio, you know, maybe I could kind of see it considering the fact that, you know, it is still falling under the, you know, even though it's a quote unquote single use sort of thing, it's still, you know, a property of, you know, whatever news segment or, you know, news based talk show, you know, sit down morning news station, whatever. I don't have the language for this. I'm not a journalist. but, you know, long story short here, I could kind of see people complaining if it was, you know, news that was based on even a local subsidiary of a larger corporation. But at the same token, though, that even that's kind of ridiculous considering the fact that, again, just the nature of news itself, as well as the fact that, you know, old ABC, NBC, etc. broadcasts from, you know, the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even up to, like, say, the relatively, the most, you know, the past 30, 40 years, probably even the past 20 years, possibly, at least snippets of it can be used as, you know, fair use as opposed to, you know, something that's still being protected by copyright law just due to the nature of, you know, time between, you know, 2023 and the year that whatever news was presented was broadcasted. So, you know, that being said, this is kind of a weird tightrope to walk around. I mean, even, you know, I have some experience with copyright law because I'm currently in the process of, you know, getting some of my own work, you know, my own original IPs protected under copyright law, at least doing research for it in order to do so. But at the same token, though, you know, from everybody who I've spoken to about copyright, it's a very strange in some ways process because, you know, you can, the categories are either so open-ended or they're so, you know, narrow and specific that it's a bit odd, and, you know, the definitions for certain things can get a little blurry, especially as the years progress, in regards to you know, broadcast media and just older media in general. But yeah, that being said, copyrighted and free use, just copyright, fair use, all that kind of stuff is kind of a strange world in general. Especially if you're trying to navigate it as someone who's approaching it as from more of a, you know, a journalistic standpoint. But at the very least, you know, the too long didn't read for this, I think, is, you know, I think, you know, the work that he's doing is very important. And overall, you know, I just find it a bit weird that he is getting flagged for stuff that, you know, in the past, could have been seen as fair use or you know, whatever reason. Yeah, again, it's not like you're, as his famous example, it's not like you're pirating an episode of SpongeBob. It's the news. So, yeah, anyway, whatever the situation is, again, this argument is very fascinating, has a level of nuance, and, you know, me being me, who's, you know, more... who's not particularly a fan of this type of media. I guess, you know, to put it in his terms, me being a quote-unquote normal person about news media, you know, there's only so much I can really say about it, but at the same token, though, at the very least, I do recognize that the work that Jim is doing is incredibly important, and I find it strange that he's only now getting criticized, flagged, whatever the case is, for the work that he's been doing.
And I did bring this up with Jim because one of the parties that we kind of addressed there uploaded a full newscast onto their channel, and then pretty much disallowed other archivists from even uploading it to their own respective channels. So it's kind of mind-boggling, to say the least.
Yeah, agreed. It's just it's been pretty strange in that regard. But again, you know, I wish him all the best, and I genuinely hope that he's able to figure most of the situation out, and that he's able to, you know, pivot as best as he can while continuing to do the incredibly important work that he's doing as an archivist.
The preceding segment came from the November 7th, 2023 edition of the Zachary and Peaches Show. Also during that episode, Emma Settles and I discussed about Hayley's On It, one of Disney's latest animated television series. We also talked quite a bit about overcoming one's own fears during that episode. To listen to that full episode now, subscribe to the Zachary and Peaches Show wherever you get your podcasts. For right now, I'm Adrian Monta. We hope you'll tune in to another episode of the Zachary and Peaches Show. Goodbye for now.
This is Jared Harris speaking for the Zachary and Peaches Show. Produced, edited, and co-hosted by Adrian Mata, and co-hosted with Emma Settles. The Zachary and Peaches Show is a Sackland original podcast.